This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
I'm smiling for 2 days. I have to do it. I have to speak about Mauricio. I have to congratulate him for the work he did. And I have to share with you what we already share indoors, which is this club will be always his home. This training ground will be always his training ground. He can come when he wants. When you miss the players, when you miss the people that you work with, the door is always open for him. And from my experience, tomorrow is another day, and you will find happiness again. You will find a great club again, and you will have a great future. I am humble. I am humble enough to try to analyze, which was what I did, to try to analyze my career, not just the last year, but to analyze my career, the evolution, the problems, the solutions. I was humble enough for that. The principle of the analyze was not to blame anyone else. And when I had meetings with my assistants and the people that I thought about bringing to work with me in this chapter, was always based on the principle there is nobody else to blame, there is nobody else to analyze, it's just only about us. And that was a great thing, because I went really deep in that analyze, and was very important for me.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Oh yeah, a new and improved Jose Mourinho returns to the English Premier League, and oh how we've missed
what
him.
What did you just say?
A new and improved Jose Mourinho returns to the Premier League, and oh how we've missed him. It's me, Ross. This is On the Ball. That was the new Tottenham boss, Jose Mourinho, and in the studio with me this week, we've got, as usual, Bob Holmes.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, Bob. He's got a lot to say. Kashika's also here.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Kashika. And Roshan Narayan.
Good evening.
Don't make fun of people, yeah?
Yeah, why not?
No.
I make fun of myself.
Tweet us at BFM Radio. Tell us why Jose is superb. Or not, at BFM Radio. Follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. It's BFM Football. And massive news this week. On Tuesday night, Mauricio Pochettino relieved of his duties by Spurs chairman Daniel Levy. And on Wednesday, literally 12 hours after that, Jose Mourinho announced as the new Tottenham manager, Bob Holmes.
Yeah, a massive shock. No one saw this coming. Mourinho looked as if he was going to Arsenal, and that was the talk. And I have a feeling that Spurs nipped in there to get him, to prevent him from going to Arsenal, because he clearly wants to stay in London, wants to stay in the Premier League, and they couldn't afford a big name manager, even if he's a busted flush, but they couldn't take a chance on that. They couldn't afford for Arsenal to get a guy that Daniel Levy, the Spurs chairman, tried to get years ago.
Yep, 2007.
And always admired. And obviously the Spurs board thought it was time to act. I mean, we can discuss that. I mean, it's very, very harsh on Pochettino, and I think it's a panic move by Spurs, an absolute panic move. We don't know whether Mourinho has still got it or not. He doesn't suit Spurs. He doesn't play young players. He needs a lot of money. Spurs haven't got it. So really, this is a massive gamble.
It's contradiction in styles between the chairman and the manager. The Spurs fan base is pretty much divided in half. A lot of them thinks, as Bob put it, he's a busted flush. What's your first opinion on this, Kashika?
I feel like they should not have fired Pochettino. He's been with the club for 5 years, and everything that the club is today, it's because of Pochettino. He did it all without any financial backing from the manager. They should have given him at least until end of the season. I don't think this is going to go very well for Spurs.
Daniel Levy basically looked at it and thought, right, we're not going to get into the top four with Mauricio Pochettino in charge of this Spurs squad this season. So that's why he made the decision, Roshan, to get rid of Pochettino and bring in Jose Mourinho.
This has been in the works for quite some time, because about a month and a half ago, or maybe 2 months ago, there was this rumoured article that a club from Italy, if I believe right, or somewhere from Europe, wanted Jose Mourinho. And one of the agents came on and said, no, he's already got a job lined up in England. Now, everyone was linking him to Arsenal. How far that was true, nobody actually knows. But I will give you my word, I wouldn't put it past him being linked to Tottenham all that while ago, 2 months ago, two plus months ago.
Yeah.
He's promised passion, real passion. But then again, it's Jose Mourinho. It depends on what pill he's popped in the morning. Which Jose Mourinho will show up? He's learned from his mistakes. If you watched his press conference, or rather the one that was early on today, he said, I'm a different person. I've learned from my mistakes. He has not learned from his mistakes. It's still going to be the same old Jose Mourinho. The only thing that is good for him that has happened to him recently is the backlash he has had at Old Trafford. For the first time in his career, in a very short period of time, he realized he lost the players at Chelsea. He lost the players at United. How would he react to these set of players? It's a dressing room that's already divided based on reports. But then again, it could be Jose Mourinho who links them all back together.
Let's look at the pluses here. Jose Mourinho is a serial winner. He wins trophies at every club he's been at. Fact. Yeah,
but he leaves a mess behind.
Yeah.
Big effect.
That's a by the way, Bob. That's a little side note.
Not side note, Ross. Did you see what happened to Real Madrid, Inter Milan?
True.
Chelsea, the first time around.
United. So if you win the Europa League, you get just broken up, basically. But surely, with this being so opposite, you've got Daniel Levy on one side of the spectrum, you know, really purse strings, very tight. And then you've got Jose Mourinho, who spent literally over $300 million in 2.5 years at Manchester United. It's a marriage of completely different styles here.
It's a marriage of convenience, isn't it? Levy is supposed to be a long-term admirer of Jose. Tried to get him when he left Chelsea.
2007, if you believe the stories. Yeah, million. Exactly.
Yeah. Mourinho has spent £925 million in his time in the Premier League. That's almost $1 billion. And Spurs haven't got any money. So something's got to give here. Something's got to change. He's already taken a pay cut. Jose taking a pay cut, serious one as well.
He's learned from his mistakes, Bob, remember.
He said that when he went to United. He said the same thing. I've learned from my mistakes. I'm a new Jose Mourinho.
But the one thing you will definitely get from Jose, and I've written these numbers down, is his opening 10 games across his 8 managerial positions have brought 48 wins. So that immediate Jose effect is there. The problem is, once that 10 games has gone past. Once you're into your second season,
well, this is it.
And his beloved commit career suicide in my third season kicks in. Daniel Levy is a person, I believe, who will pull the trigger faster than any other owner, can I put that in inverted brackets, at any football club. But he knows he's lined up somebody else for 3 years' time. But the question is, what can he get out of this current squad?
Okay, let's put Jose aside. We'll come back to Jose when we preview his first match of his managerial campaign. Let's look at Mauricio Pochettino. How badly was he treated here, Mauricio?
Well, I think pretty badly. But if you were...
It was coming.
Well, yes. But if you were Pochettino, you're walking away with £12 million. And the biggest clubs in the world, or some of them, are after you.
Yeah.
And he could have a half-season sabbatical and then choose between Bayern Munich, Real Madrid and Manchester United.
And probably PSG thrown in there as well.
That's a good situation to be in, is it?
I didn't look at PSG, but that's a good shot, Ross.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And he's, you know, proved to the entire world that he can build a squad from nothing. The problem now will be with Pochettino, can he handle big name players?
For me, the only reason Daniel Levy has gone and made this move is because he believes that Mauricio Pochettino will not get Spurs into the top four spot.
He wasn't supposed to be there at the start of the season, correct?
Well, this is it. So with all we hear stories, Pochettino said he was going to leave last season if they'd won the Champions League. Anyway, this will rumble on. We will come back to Jose Mourinho and how we think he will do later on. But a lot of football went on during the week. We've got about 5 minutes to get it all in. Let's start with Malaysia's second win of their international break. I've never seen a Malaysian international break go so well. Two wins out of two. The latest one was a 2-0 win over Indonesia. Safawi Rasid with two absolute peaches.
I know he works for a very big club here in Malaysia. But for me, I think whoever's guiding him, his agent, his manager, whoever has to look at him, he's good enough to go into Japan. He's good enough to go to South Korea. And hopefully for his sake, he does go there because he can get even better. I personally feel he's at about 40 to 60% of what he truly
agreed,
can do.
Agreed.
But he's got everything, yeah?
It's all about your personal ambition, but a lot of negative news, especially...
Stop it, Ross.
Well, today, I believe in a Malaysian newspaper, two ex-players have come out and denounced Safawi Rasid for him not being part of the SEA Games squad. That's a bit silly, isn't it, Kashika?
I think there's a bigger fish to fry. You know, it's more important for him to be playing for the national team and staying focused on that goal rather than playing for an under-23 side.
Agreed. That's basically it.
Absolutely,
I mean, SEA Games used to be big when I was young. Yeah, to win the SEA Games.
No, it's still a medal. It's still a benchmark.
Yeah.
But you've got to aim bigger. Yeah. And the World Cup qualifier. World Cup. And then, of course, you've got other tournaments in the region. He's your best player.
What a left foot, eh?
What a left foot.
I was watching the game in KK and I can promise you the establishment I was at, the moment that one went in, everyone just lost it.
I tell you what, Australian League soccer clubs, A-League clubs, yes. Why are you not looking at this guy here, right? He's sweet left foot, seriously. So UAE versus Malaysia on the 26th of March is our next
That's
game.
That's the problem, right?
Well,
December, January, February... Yeah. It's like 3 months away.
It's up to Tan Cheng Ho to keep the fire burning.
But isn't it so... I won't use the word surprising, but isn't it so nice to see you beat Thailand and then you followed up with another good victory over Indonesia?
Mate, if we beat UAE, we can all believe. We can really believe. I seriously believe that.
You believe, you can believe.
I believe that we can believe, Bob. All right, let's move on because time's rapidly running out. Wales beat Hungary 2-0.
Do you want to talk about the flag? Forget about the game.
Forget about it. Well, Aaron Ramsey came back, started the game with Gareth Bale, scored two goals, two very Aaron Ramsey-like goals. After the game, Gareth Bale celebrated with a Welsh flag with Wales, golf, and Madrid.
In that order.
In that order, written on it.
We talked about this last week. Right?
Didn't go down well with the Spanish press. Let's just say
but credit
that.
To him. Why not? I know it's not the right thing to do in football, but have Madrid treated him well at all? Has Zidane, his manager, treated him with any respect whatsoever?
You've hit the nail on the head. For me, it seems... harsh or out of place when footballers actually stand up for themselves and actually say things.
And I don't think he meant anything really supremely negative about it. It was just in jest.
He's poking fun at himself, if anything, right?
Yeah, absolutely right.
But he knew that he was going to go.
He
down
knew.
Badly,
he knew.
And he didn't care. Obviously, he didn't.
Why
care.
Should he, Bob?
The bridges have been burnt, haven't they? Well and truly. He's got to leave this season. He should leave, I think, before the end of the season.
So
go back to Spurs.
We fast forward here on the ball every Friday and we look into the future. And is he coming back to Spurs? Is he going to be Jose Mourinho's marquee signing in January?
Not well, for me.
They haven't got the money, have they? I mean, Real Madrid.
A Christian Eriksen part exchange possibly. Could
might,
work, couldn't
might
it?
Be something that in that.
Yeah. He's too that's injury all. Prone and Jose won't take a risk on him.
You see, that's got a lot of water as well, that one. He's not a Jose-type player at all, is he?
No.
Yeah.
No.
And you do golf with Jose, he'll wrap that golf club around your head.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Germany beat Northern Ireland 6-1. Serge Gnabry scored a hat-trick. Poor old Northern Ireland missed out, but they had two massive tasks. They had to beat Holland beat Germany with a +4 goal difference to qualify. They have the playoffs. So good luck, Northern Ireland. We've got to talk about the farce that the Spanish FA have. Oh, my goodness gracious me. Luis Enrique has been brought back as the head coach of Spain. They have basically told Roberto Moreno, hey, thanks a lot for the qualifying.
He didn't want his previous job back.
It's great. You got 100% record. Bye-bye.
Yeah, well, something happened there, didn't it? I mean, he apparently they're big mates, Moreno and Enrique.
Apparently, 8 weeks ago, Roberto Moreno said on television, if Enrique feels it's time to come back, it's fine, I will step aside. It's not that. It's just apparently the way it was done.
There's two sides to the story, because when Luis Enrique first left, there was an understanding, apparently, and this is according to the FA, that if he wants to come back, he's more than willing. I mean, they're more than willing to allow him to come back, because he left because of the sickness to his daughter.
Yeah, his daughter has since passed on, away. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you show some compassion. So Moreno knew exactly what was going to happen. If he really meant what he said, that he's going to support Luis Enrique, he would take his previous job back.
Well, agreed. But Luis Enrique has decided that Roberto Moreno is not to be part of the backroom staff. The thing is, after the last qualification game, none of the Spanish players
stayed back
and gave any interviews. They were so disgusted. Roberto Moreno, by reports I've read, left the stadium in tears. So,
well, the word is that he was offered the job, wasn't he? I mean, that's the mistake that was made. He was quite prepared to just be the caretaker until he was actually offered the job on a permanent basis.
And he was.
Yeah. And so therefore he thought, okay, I'll take it. And then to be told, no, sorry, the other guy's coming back after all. I mean, yeah. And the fact that their friendship now appears to be broken as well.
We saw that with Klopp and his former assistant at Liverpool who fell off in a bad way. And they went their separate ways.
Yeah.
It's happened in the past. Yeah. I don't see why it
but
can't.
This is the second time this has happened in just over a year. So you have,
what was his name, Bob? Come on.
You have to wonder, don't you? Lopetegui. Remember him?
God bless him.
A name to conjure with. They could have won the World Cup if they'd not sacked him on one day before the thing started. Yep. Amazing stuff.
All right, I wonder if the Spanish FA have offices in Kalanajaya.
who's advising who?
I'm moving on.
Behave, Ross.
Listen, quick break. When we come back, we'll start previewing the weekend, and we're going to start with Jose's first game next.
Worth a try, and he's always prepared to give it a go.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Deserved a goal, that. Love the return pass. Just wide.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks for sticking with us, Roshan, Kashika and Bob in the studio. Jose Mourinho, then, will face West Ham in his first game as Tottenham manager, just as Maurizio Pochettino did and just as Tim Sherwood did before him. Football is a funny old game, isn't it, Bob?
Tim Sherwood.
Wow. Could Tim Sherwood have won the? Would Tim Sherwood have won the Champions League against Liverpool? Hey!
Well, if he hadn't got the penalty against him in the 22 seconds in,
but
no, Tim Sherwood, no.
West Ham against Jose's Spurs, as I like to call them now.
Oof.
is actually a strange game to start with. On one hand, West Ham, you've got Pellegrini, who's under some serious pressure.
Four losses in five games and one draw.
They've spent a lot of money. Those chairmen up there
are trigger happy.
Yeah, you know, after drinking in Soho, they're going to come back. They're going to be thinking, I'm a little bit angry. Things aren't going well. But they're at home, the Hammers. They're 16th. Spurs are 14th.
It's do or die for West Ham, because I always talk about results. It comes thick and fast in the Premier League, especially in December and January. And I know this is a big game against Tottenham. It's Jose's first game, which I'll be very surprised if they can get anything. But after that, they have Chelsea, Wolves and Arsenal. He's the next man who's going to get fired if he doesn't pick up anything in the next four games.
That's a big shout. That's also quite a sensible shout as well. Kashka, what kind of Jose Spurs are we going to see? Are we going to see the same as he was at United. You know, really solid, don't want to concede goals, maybe win by one.
I believe when he said he's learned a lot from his previous mistake, if he's referencing to anything at all...
He was lying.
Yeah, if we're giving him benefit of the doubt, he's not talking about his tactics or the way they play the game. I think he's talking about man management. I find that he's probably still going to play defensive football, but with just taking over with 2 days before the match, I don't think that you can actually judge him for it.
You look at the formation, you look at the team that Pochettino has built, it is the perfect and ideal situation for Jose Mourinho. That four at the back, two holding midfielders, three in front of them, and that one main striker, which he found success at Chelsea with Didier Drogba up front. He found success at Real Madrid with Benzema up front. United, he didn't have that midfield. It is a decent midfield. It has just been underperforming. I feel that this Tottenham squad is built perfectly for Jose. He's got his power forward, which he never had at Old Trafford. He's got some midfielders who can do the business, unlike at Manchester United, where he fell out with the most important people.
Yeah.
And the two centre-backs are already ready and tailor-made for the Premier League.
He needs to get the centre-backs tied up on a long-term contract. But midfield, for me, is where maybe the question mark lies. We know Jose Mourinho teams, Bob. We know he likes physical specimens in his midfield.
Yeah, Spurs haven't quite got that.
I'm thinking Harry Winks is not a physical specimen.
Nor is Eriksen.
Nor is Christian Eriksen.
No. You can
Harry Winks and Christian Eriksen are two very different players, correct?
True.
Kante wasn't exactly the most physical player, but he got the job done.
Yeah. Kante.
I mean, they're two different players in two different leagues, I understand.
Kante is an anomaly on his, yeah, on his own. Agree. Kante is Kante. Yeah. There's never been anyone like Kante.
Well, don't be surprised if he brings in Matic in the transfer window.
Why not?
I think United fans, every single United fan has their fingers crossed right now as we speak.
I so disagree with this hate for Nemanja Matic. I feel bad for him. I think he's overlooked at United.
Yeah.
And if I was Matic, I'd be like, Scott McTominay, okay, fine, he does have his moments every once in a while, but he's been overlooked time in and time out. He's put in a performance and then he gets taked off.
Yeah, people have short memories. When Matic was signed from Chelsea, remember?
Yes. Well said, Bob. Yeah.
Agreed.
Exactly.
Well.
Yeah. So, will people like Son Heung-min thrive or suffer under Jose Mourinho?
He's the perfect player for Jose. He's got that. He's exactly what Jose requires. It's exactly what he wanted at Old Trafford, and he never had a hard-working, disciplined player who's willing to run up, down, left, right, diagonal throughout the entire game.
Yeah, actually, he'll love Son Heung-min. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've made him captain in my fantasy league team this weekend. It's an 8:30 kickoff then. West Ham in 16th against Spurs in 14th. I can't believe those league positions. 8:30 p.m. kickoff. Arsenal, who are 6th, 9th at the moment, take on Southampton, who are 19th at the moment. Unai Emery, it's weird. On Twitter this week, we had Arsenal fans saying, get Pochettino in now. Never in my life. Arsenal fans tweeting within hours of Pochettino getting sacked that they should get a Spurs manager in to manage them.
No.
Are things that bad Emirates?
Desperate, aren't they? Yeah. No, they won't go for him. Well, he won't go for them. I'm absolutely sure of that. He's got enough loyalty to Spurs not to take that job. And why would he want it when he's got Man United and Real Madrid and possibly PSG?
Barcelona will like him as well.
Even any national team.
Yeah. Good point.
Argentina?
Or he's also got his farm in Argentina, as he's pointed out.
£12 million. And
about
a long way in Argentina.
You can get some cattle with that money, Bob.
It's a bit disrespectful also to Unai Emery. I know we've always had a go at him in terms of how he's handled Ozil and things like that.
I agree, but
the only thing I feel that he's really messed up this season, and you know, I've got the captain over here of the president.
Is saying
the fan
good
club.
Evening, right?
Good evening, and David Luiz. Well, he's the only mistake he's made this season. Yes, he's got some things to deal with in the dressing room, but this man was in a cup final in Europe just a few months ago.
The signing of David Luiz was always 50-50 for me. He could always maybe work out because, you know.
And maybe not never ever work out.
Well, yeah, and also he could be the joker in the pack, which is what most people, subscribe to.
He's certainly a joker.
Well,
he's been playing in the wrong position.
He's been more joker than
you're right, Bob. I believe his best position is on the bench.
Yeah, but to say that
in Brazil,
to say that Emery has only made one mistake, I think he's made
it's a massive mistake. But apart from that, it's been an up and down season. He's had things to deal with. He's not played the front three as everyone thinks he should, and we think he should. That's the only mistake apart from the whole.
That's the thing. He's got a lot. There are big questions this weekend for Unai Emery and his team selection. Apparently, Xhaka, according to the press, has been accepted back into the fold. Now, does he come back into the first team squad, starting 11? And, okay, apart from Unai Emery, maybe under even more pressure is Ralf Hasenhüttl at Southampton. They're 19th, for goodness sake.
Emery will be a very relieved man, and probably this will extend into the weekend.
Because they're playing Southampton.
Yeah, I mean, he's relieved that Pochettino has been replaced by Mourinho for a start, so he's got a little bit more job security. And he's got Southampton at home. I mean, this is a good week for Unai Emery. I think a comfortable win over Southampton will buy him a little time.
I agree.
And then it's, you know, before we know where we are, it's the January transfer window. They might just give him a bit of money.
Well, the word from Arsenal is he will be given the season, but by gum, if Ralf Hasenhüttl pulls one off here.
Who are you going to replace Unai Emery with? Pochettino?
Pochettino?
There's a few guys maybe from Europe. Carlo Ancelotti, you never know.
Sam?
Why not? If you're an Arsenal fan and you complain about everything, why not give Big Sam a chance?
It would go back to the Arsenal 1-0 days, wouldn't it?
You know, yeah. But as a result. And now he actually puts things into perspective on what Arsene Wenger did in
one of the.
He had some of the worst Arsenal squads in the history of Arsenal, and yet top four season in, season out.
But he also had a team of invincibles, and then it just deteriorated into that Arsenal.
Just talking about his last few years there.
Yeah.
He was top four. Yeah?
Until the last couple of years.
So sixth versus 19th, it will be a massive shout for a Southampton away win. One of the guys might make it theirs. We're going for a wee short break. We'll come back, continue our preview of the weekend's EPL right after this.
What about that clearance off the line? How important did that turn out to be in the end?
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
It is a fine goal. Fine header, fine goal.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
Hey, thanks a lot for sticking with us. Keshika, Roshan and Bob in the studio. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Follow us on social media. It's BFM Football on Facebook and on Instagram as well. Brighton in 11th take on Leicester City, who are second this weekend. Massive team news for Brighton is that Lewis Dunk, their rock centre-back, is going to be missing. He's picked up five bookings, so he's going to sit out this game. And Leicester, well, under Brendan Rodgers, they are flying high, aren't they?
Apart from Liverpool, the best team to watch in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Fun, entertaining, scoring goals, and this is literally, you could see things of what they were doing when they won the Premier League.
Yeah. Second best defence in the league, second highest scorers in the league. Brendan Rodgers has only just got started at Leicester as well.
Probably playing better football than when they won the league, actually. A more attractive team. I mean, that was a very efficient team, built on a solid defence and breakaway goals from Vardy.
Mahrez.
And Mahrez. But this team with Madison pulling the strings... Mm.
And Tielemans, how no one has signed him.
They are a very attractive side. And they look really very strong candidates for top four position.
If City fall away, would the closest next challengers to Liverpool be Leicester City? If Man City fall away?
If Man City fall away, yeah. Actually, Chelsea, I think.
Yeah, actually, you could be right.
Or a resurgent Spurs.
Or a resurgent Spurs, Jose. All right, Brighton versus Leicester is an 11 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. League leaders Liverpool are away at 12th place Crystal Palace. Now, Liverpool could go 12 points clear of Man City before Guardiola's side kickoff against Chelsea later on Saturday. Chances are it will happen. Going into it, early team news is we know Mo Salah and Andy Robertson aren't going to be available for Liverpool. So it's Divock Origi and James Milner coming in as replacements.
Not quite the same, are they?
Not quite the same.
But they're still good enough.
But, well, this is the thing. They've always been good enough and they've always done the job for Jurgen.
I fancy Crystal Palace to get something out of this game against Liverpool because it's just one of those teams, you know, it's in their home ground. You're expecting Liverpool to absolutely kill them, but they've been decent this season. I know the results have not gone their way. I understand that. But Crystal Palace is a team that can pull out a result against a team like Liverpool because Liverpool's going to attack. And the team that they have is exactly built to counter Liverpool on the break.
And you can imagine Roy Hodgson working all week on Wilfred Zaha, concentrating on that left-hand side of the Liverpool defense all week. But yeah, you've got a lot of ex-players. Benteke used to play for Liverpool, of course. He scores every now and again now. I think I actually score more than Christian Benteke.
Well, Roy Hodgson would, it'd be a sweet revenge for him, wouldn't it, if he were to pull off a win here after his time as the worst manager in Liverpool's history.
I will never forget that scene when he was rubbing his nose and when he was on the touchline and you're like, bro, there's a camera there, bro. Don't do this to yourself.
But it is a
Virgil van Dijk didn't play in the Netherlands game, did he?
No.
He pulled off for some
personal reasons. So he's going to be fit and available for Liverpool. That's massive. They are weakened without Salah and Andy Robertson. It is at Selhurst Park, not the most agreeable of grounds.
I see you talking this up, I guess.
Well, it could well be one of the big shouts. 12 versus 1st. It's an 11 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Yeah, I tell you what, we're going for another short break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the big one, City-Chelsea. Also, Ole's United are at Sheffield United, who are pretty decent this season. All next.
Fine save by the goalkeeper, spreading himself.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
The league cannot win a title without an outstanding goalkeeper, and he's been absolutely brilliant.
On the ball on BFM 89.9.
And we are back, previewing Sheffield United against Manchester United. This is... Sheffield United have conceded 9 goals this season. Only Leicester City have a better defence.
And more importantly, they're playing Manchester United.
Well, this is it. I was, along with many people, Sheffield United was one of my 3 to go down this season.
Yep.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Norwich had way more chance than Sheffield United in my eyes. So you've got to hand it to them. You've got to hand it to what they've done so well. The only problem is their away form is actually better than their home form.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, Sheffield United were a third-tier team 3 years ago, you know. I mean, they only spent a couple of years in the Championship. They were actually in the old third division, League One.
Mm.
And fundamentally, the team hasn't changed that much. And here they are, a point ahead of Manchester United in fifth place. I mean, they're in the top 6 in the Premier League. They haven't spent any money. And I mean, this is an amazing achievement.
You always have a team that comes up and surprises everyone. I go back to the first time I remember being really surprised was Ipswich.
Yeah.
When they came out of nowhere and they were just shocking everybody. You've got the likes of Burnley, Bournemouth, who do come up, spend about 6-7 years in the Premier League, and then everything goes pear-shaped once they start changing their managers, spending money when they're not supposed to spend money, unlike Burnley, doing it right.
But can Sheffield United solidify themselves? Can they be a stalwart of the Premier League like your Crystal Palaces are now, like your Bournemouths?
Why not? For me, this season, I'll give them till Feb. If the results go well, they'll definitely be there for next season. But Feb will be the benchmark in terms of what they do and can survive. I wouldn't be surprised if they give United a really tough game.
Well, because of what's happened to Pochettino, because of Jose Mourinho's appointment and all that, possibly the biggest pressure this weekend would be on Manchester United's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer coming into this game, don't you think?
I think so, because I'm a United fan, but I honestly feel like Sheffield United might just win this game.
And Poch is just breathing down Solskjaer's neck now, isn't he?
From a distance, I think.
From a beach somewhere in the Caribbean. But you know what I mean? The pressure's there. Everyone knows that, well, Pochettino is going to be sought after by all the big clubs. And Manchester United are not going to rule themselves out of it, of the running, because Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is their boss at the moment.
I don't think it's going to happen immediately. It could happen at the end of the season. I think it would be ridiculous to act now. I don't think Pochettino probably isn't even ready for it just yet. I think he needs a break. He's been under great pressure as well. And he's got the money. He'll take a break and then look for something, I think, at the start of next season. You know, but managers always like to have their pre-seasons. And
football is a funny game, though, Bob. If he is aiming for Real Madrid or Manchester United, and if you were Pochettino, these are the two jobs you want. Maybe unless it's like an AC Milan or Barcelona, fair enough, because they have the money there in Milan if they're willing to spend. But this is the job you want. This is the job you've been lining yourself up personally, because who was his hero? Who was his idol that helped him shape Tottenham? Sir Alex Ferguson. And you're trying to tell me, as before we got into the studio, I said, if I was Ed Woodward, I would like Ed Woodward to go full-blown Ed Woodward and just fire Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because Pochettino is still available. He would have gotten the Real Madrid job if he was available back then, but they gave it to Zidane. Mm. So I think United would be watching this very, very closely.
Along with a lot of clubs.
January,
with
you have a transfer window. They will splash the cash for Pochettino. And if Pochettino does go to Old Trafford, guess who's going to bring on next season?
Well,
Harry Kane.
That's why Man United against Sheffield United in Sheffield this weekend is massive.
It is.
This month, in fact.
You mentioned earlier about whether Sheffield United could sustain themselves in the Premier League. Well, the answer is yes. I mean, if Bournemouth and Burnley and teams like that stay up there on small gates, Bournemouth 10,000.
Yeah.
Sheffield is a big city. It's got a history. Sheffield United has a history. They've got a decent-sized ground. They've got a great atmosphere and a hardcore fan base. And they're ready for Premier League football in a big way. They've been starved of it in Sheffield, both Wednesday and United have been out of the league for a long time. And they've got ambitions there, Sheffield United. So this is not an upstart from, from the
Boondocks
or anything.
Let's fast forward to Monday morning, Monday's show. What happens if Sheffield United, say, win this game 3-1?
Are you trying to tell me if that result doesn't take place, the people at Old Trafford, the board, won't be talking about sacking
exactly,
him?
Right?
It's
already going to happen after this one game, this weekend.
You mentioned before we started talking about the game, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is under a lot of pressure. And if he thinks that Ed Woodward would be loyal to him, he's in denial. Any United fan, I know they want him there. He's their very own. But he's not getting it done. Yes, you can always say he's not been given the support. But who is the better manager between Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and Mauricio Pochettino? Please answer that question for me. Anybody?
Yeah. See where you're driving at.
Yeah,
all right.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
But Woodward has got himself into this situation.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
He's been promising every week. Yeah. every week we're going to back Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He's going to make himself look an even bigger idiot.
He is. And if I was him, I'd say, why not? I've already lost the plot. Am I going to back a guy who I personally don't believe can do it.
Well, it's going to be made a lot easier if Sheffield United win this one. So we shall see.
Actually, I ask you this, y'all too. Y'all are United fans. If they do lose, right, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer gets fired, as a fan, would you be happy to see, as a manager, a man like Pochettino take over Old Trafford? Yes or no?
Absolutely, yes.
Compared to all the options that's out there, I think Pochettino fits United better than any other
exactly.
manager.
Exactly, I rest my case.
Win the games against Spurs, that's for sure. Sheffield United against Man United. It's your late Super Sunday game. So 12:30, that one kicks off. The biggest game of the weekend is your late Saturday game, early Sunday morning. 1:30, that one kicks off. Man City in fourth against third place Chelsea. Frank Lampard and this Chelsea side are flying high at the moment. If they go to the Etihad and win against Pep Guardiola's Man City, then sky's the limit. Because Frank Lampard is under no pressure to win any title this season. He's probably not even expected to get top four, but heck if he does.
I think he's odds on to get top four now, the way they've shaped up. And there is even a chance that they will win their appeal and have money to spend.
In January, yeah.
Yeah. And he said he would spend it. Despite the success of the youngsters, I mean, the Chelsea fans are split on this, actually. They're aware that they may be able to get off the ban. But some don't want to get off because they want to keep this momentum with the young players. They feel that if they bring in some big names in January, it might upset the dressing room.
What? Who would you sign for Chelsea, though, to make this Chelsea side better? Maybe a striker? A backup for Tammy Abraham, but then you've got Giroud in reserves. Well,
the fact that we're struggling to say
exactly
tells you how good Chelsea are, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
That game against Crystal Palace, the job Reece James did against Zaha, bro, come on, bro. He's a kid and he made Zaha.
That was his Premier League debut.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What an unbelievable start. So I would keep this going. Fair enough. If it does, the bubble does burst later on and they finish 5th or 6th, you're right. Lampard didn't have to prove anything to anyone, but the boys stood up. I won't use the word boys because they've been playing here and there and everywhere, most of them. But it is already an accomplishment. The football they've been playing. Like I said, I go back and if you watch that Crystal Palace game, you were just thinking about, this is what Phil Neville did years gone by. Mm-hmm. This is what a certain Azpilicueta did when he first came across to Chelsea. They've just all worked for each other. Mm-hmm. And if you do bring in a big name, who is he going to bring in and does he gel into this squad, their mentality?
Yeah, good question, good question. Surely there is pressure now mounting on one Pep Guardiola.
Ooh.
Man City, before the international break, soundly beaten by Liverpool, 3-1. They're fourth now. They're behind this weekend's visitors,
You're
Chelsea.
Not going to mention VAR in the Liverpool Man City game, Ross, Yusuf.
We got through the almost the entire program without mentioning it. I thought we were going to get a new.
No, he said convincingly. Beat. There
amazing,
was other
right?
things there going
but,
on.
But Pep's going to have something to say. He's a world-class manager, right?
Yeah, well, he's mucked up on the defence, hasn't he? I think he always was a manager that believed that as long as you're scoring plenty at the other end, it doesn't really matter too much about your defence.
But he didn't know how good John Stones was.
Well, he has had bad luck. I mean, you've got to say.
Yeah.
Losing Laporte and then the subsequent injuries and the subsequent suspensions. I mean, even Fernandinho was suspended.
Yeah.
Rodri was moved back there and then he got injured. So, you know, it's been sod's law for him. You've got to cut him some slack there.
Or as any Liverpool fan would say, Murphy's Law.
He should have bought another central defender.
Will he do that? Will he do that in January? Will
he may do that.
Yeah.
He may do that.
No brainer, right?
Port is not guaranteed to be back until February or March.
So he made a mistake with Maguire and not signing him.
Well,
just for a few million.
Literally, they were going 70-something million they were bidding, but they didn't want to go to 80.
He said it's too much for a defender.
Did
anyone remind him how much he spent on Mendy? And how long has Mendy been playing for Man City?
But you know what? 50 is the Man City transfer record. They've not spent more than what they've spent on those fullbacks. 50, 55 million, I think, is the record, club
Stones
record.
Stones is the record, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, De Bruyne was also 50-odd.
50, yeah. They've not gone higher than 60, definitely. It's 50-something.
I think he was 57, Riyad Mahrez.
So
for a team that can spend a lot and have all these feeder clubs around the world, they couldn't spend another 20 million to sort out their problems.
What's big for City in this Chelsea game is the goalie's back, at least.
That's very big.
That's quite big, isn't it?
What's the fella's name? It was entertaining us. Who has once coined the best goalkeeper in the world?
Clownio, bro.
Ooh, Bob. Ooh, that's a bit harsh.
Right. Man City, Chelsea, 1:30 a.m. kickoff. It's a late Saturday, early Sunday morning game. That, in a nutshell, is your EPL for the weekend. Here, then, is your treatment table.
Who's in? Who's out? Stay on the ball with the treatment table. In Saturday's early kickoff, West Ham's Manuel Lanzini is out with a fractured collarbone. However, Mark Noble, Jack Wilshere and Mikel Antonio all trained this week and are available after injuries. New Tottenham boss Jose Mourinho has revealed that Jan Vertonghen and Tanguy Ndombele will both face fitness tests due to respective hamstring and groin issues. Arsenal welcome Southampton to the Emirates and Dani Ceballos the only injury issue, with the Spaniard doubtful due to a hamstring injury. Michael Obafemi is the only fitness concern for the Saints. Brighton will face Leicester at the Amex Stadium without the suspended Lewis Dunk. Aaron Connolly will also miss out due to injury. For Leicester, Brendan Rodgers has a full squad to choose from. Mohamed Salah and Andy Robertson are both rated as major doubts for Liverpool's trip to Selhurst Park due to ankle injuries. Jadon Shaqiri is in line for a return to the first team squad after finally resuming training following a calf tear. Joel Ward is the only doubt for Crystal Palace after injuring his groin. Fabian Delph and Michael Keane both missed the international break and are doubts for Everton's home tie against Norwich. Burnett remains sidelined, while Gomez and Gerberman will both also miss out for some time. For the Canaries, Jamal Lewis, Grant Henley, Christoph Zimmermann, Mario Vrancic, Kenny McLean and Josip Dermich are all doubts for the trip to Goodison Park. Bernardo Silva is suspended for Man City's home tie against Chelsea, while Aymeric Laporte, Oleksandr Zinchenko and Leroy Sané remain sidelined. Ruben Loftus-Cheek and Antonio Rudiger are definitely unavailable for the Blues, while there is a major doubt over Christian Pulisic. And that wraps up this edition of The Treatment Table. Enjoy the football.
Producer Tasha there with The Treatment Table. Don't forget to sort out your fantasy league football teams. Time to get a prediction, or three.
Time for the big weekend shout.
Yes, indeed. We shall start with Roshan.
I did say Crystal Palace, Liverpool, right?
Ooh.
I'm going to go for either 1-1 or 2-2. Draw.
Okay. Okay. Liverpool to lose points. That's quite a big shout.
Yeah.
That's quite a big shout. Okay. We'll let you get away with that. Keshke, what's your big shout?
Well, I think logically it looks like Sheffield United might pull it off, but I'll still root for United and hope that...
Of course. But
so
yeah.
The upset is United to beat Sheffield. Hey. How ye have fallen.
No, that's a big, slippery piece of carpet.
But that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you think you can't beat Sheffield United.
Yeah. That's state of play in 2019, my friend. Bob Holmes, what's your big shout?
Wow, people using logic in big shout.
Oh, that's so mean. You can't say that to her, Bob.
I was going to have that.
Jose, someone, is Jose going to be triumphant?
I think so, by 2 goals.
Okay, that's your big shout.
Tune in next week for more big weekend shouts.
It's the early kickoff, West Ham against Spurs. Your big game is Man City against Chelsea this weekend. Super Sunday is Sheffield United against Man United. That's it. We're out of time. So I say thank you, Roshan Narayan.
Good evening and good night.
Thank you, Kashika.
Thank you, everyone.
And thank you, Bob Holmes.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for listening. See you Monday.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.